People are often curious about how I became fascinated with vampires. Someone recently asked me what did it mean psychologically that my persona seemed rather bright and even Pollyanna-ish, and yet most of my research has dealt with very dark subjects: crucifixion, ugliness, evil, and vampires. Perhaps this is because I am Southern. Growing up in the Confederate South and nurtured on writers like Faulkner, Flannery O'Connor, Edgar Allan Poe, Tennessee Williams, and more recently Walker Percy and Ayn Rice, turned my mind towards the Gothic. In Gothic novels, the horrors are frankly supernatural, but also psychologically symbolic, and nothing is more Gothic than vampires. As a Southerner, I wonder if the experience of reading these writers is different when you have grown up in the South, because their dark and often bloody plots and their weird settings and irrational characters resonate very deeply in my personal unconscious. A persistent theme in Southern writing is the demonic grip of the past on the living present, where evil is passed on. Southern writers explore the dark underside of the Southern mystique of magnolias, Southern bells, mint juleps, and chivalry. This morning, I want to explore a Gothic possibility where horrors seem sometimes frankly supernatural, but also psychologically symbolic. I think my title, the title we picked last year, and I only take one particular part of it this morning, or a constant focus is, might be called The Vampire Shadow of the Good Mother. In Archetypes of the Unconscious, Jung gives the three essentials of the mother. And I quote Jung: "There are three essentials of the mother: her cherishing and nourishing goodness, her orgiastic emotionalism, her Stygian depths." I had puzzled about the Stygian depths, because the Stygian depths are the black waters of death. And what does Jung mean when he calls Stygian depths an essential of a cherishing good mother? Tantalizing ideas about Stygian depths of positive mothers are what I want to explore. I will talk about vampires, about possession, and about child eating, and especially about the difficulty of separating inner psychic processes from outer external events. Now, I hope you can all hear me and can understand what I say. I only mean understand the words, because I don't understand the content myself. But if you have difficulty either hearing me or understanding my Southern accent, please let me know. I was fascinated with vampires before I studied analytical psychology. Dracula is our most popular monster with a frightful glamour, and more movies have been made about vampires than any other subject. But studying analytical psychology made me begin to look at the vampire myth in psychological terms as a metaphor to describe human interactions, particularly shadow parts. The vampire describes a psychological process where the struggle into being through love has gone awry. Vampirism is a paradigm of a blood-sucking, life-sucking love, a fatal possession. As I studied the psychological aspects of the vampire myth, however, I was struck more and more by examples of eerily physical literalization of vampire lore in the lives of the people I studied, which seemed examples of the inexplicable riddle of the relationship between biography and soul. Now, Jung said this in many places, but I quote from Answer to Job. This is Jung: The archetype fulfills itself not only psychically in the individual, but also objectively. Can a vampire archetype fulfill itself objectively in an individual's fate? Nothing is explainable about vampires. The power and terror of the myth seem to depend on its inexplicability. Yet in the vampire myth, the poles of the strange and the familiar remain simultaneously present.